What's good, everybody? This episode of the podcast is sponsored by DistroKid. They are the go-to for digital music distribution and the easiest way for musicians to get your music onto Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, TikTok, YouTube, and all the places you need your music to be. They offer unlimited uploads, and artists keep 100% of their earnings in-store 10 to 20 times faster than any other distributor. Fastest payouts. They help out with automatic splits, cover song clearance, and all kinds of other amazing tools and templates to help you get the most visibility for your releases. I dig this company and really appreciate their business model that offers more features than any other distributor at the most affordable price possible for solo musicians, bands, studio artists, DJs, and any other creators that are producing music in their home, and they also offer label services as well. They've got three different tiers to offer creators that start as low as $22.99 a year. That's just $1.92 per month, and even their top tier breaks down to only $7.50 per month. And the best part about DistroKid sponsoring the podcast is that they are offering Dan Cable Presents listeners 30% off your first year of membership, making their already affordable services even cheaper for you. Check out the link in the episode notes. I also put it in my Instagram bio in the link tree. Click that link and it'll give you 30% off your first year of service. Super stoked to have DistroKid sponsoring the podcast and can't thank them enough for their longtime support of this thing. This episode of the podcast is also sponsored by Drops. Drops are an Oregon-based edible company and one of my go-tos when I'm heading into the dispensary. Their consistency and price point keeps them in my regular rotation of gummies. I love their 100-milligram canisters that have the little 5-milligram bites in there. They make it easy to monitor dosage and not get unexpectedly blasted. The chill ones are my favorite. They're this banging watermelon flavor, and one thing that I love about these edibles is that they taste great. Sometimes you get some edibles that pack a punch but taste horrible, and Drops I have to be careful with because they taste so good that I just want to eat them like a bag of Sour Patch Kids. With Drops, you can choose your edibles based on how you want to feel. That's possible because Drops are made with live rosin, a solventless full spectrum cannabis concentrate. As a full spectrum concentrate, rosin contains the full array of psychoactive compounds in cannabis, which work together to give each strain its unique effect. All of their cannabis is flash frozen and processed into that live rosin. The flash freezing prevents plant material from decomposing and preserves terpenes that evaporate during the traditional drying and curing processes. They come in 10 different flavors and strains to choose from, including several CBD variations. You can find Drops at your favorite local Oregon dispensary. Just tap into the link in the episode notes to find a supplier in your area. Big thanks to Drops for their support. Let's start the episode. What is happening, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Dan Cable Presents podcast. Thank you for tuning into the program once again. If this is your first time listening, thanks for checking out the show. You can find fresh episodes coming at you every Tuesday. And if you want to help support this thing in a free way, you can do so by clicking subscribe on iTunes, clicking write a review, giving the podcast 5 stars if you feel like it is deserving of so. And that will help propel this thing into the tops of those iTunes charts, which will give it more visibility on the national and international levels, helping strangers find the podcast, and just a great way to contribute to the growth and sustainability of this thing. Appreciate the hell out of all the folks that have already taken the time to do so. If you're not listening on Apple, just hit like, follow, subscribe wherever you are listening from. Give it a rating on Spotify. Tell a friend about the podcast. Leave a comment on a social media post, or, you know, check out those monthly playlists that I've been dropping every first of the month. They're pretty spread out genre-wise. Just a snapshot of what I'm listening to throughout the month. Some tracks that are making it into my DJ sets. And the links for those are in the episode notes available on Apple and Spotify. Hope everybody is doing well out there. Stoked to get in to episode 362. When I was out at the Tree Fort Music Festival in Boise, Idaho a couple months back, I had the opportunity to chat with a couple bands from outside of the United States, which is one of the killer things about the way that that festival has evolved is their desire to bring bands from all over the world to Boise, Idaho. So through this year's lineup, I learned about a band from Oslo, Norway called Orion's Belt. As I learned more about their music, they became one of the bands I was most looking forward to connecting with. They've got this really cool series on their YouTube channel called The Scenic Route, where they play music in all these beautiful locations. Highly recommended if you enjoy the music that you hear on this episode or this conversation. And I'm just pumped that I got the chance to chat with them. They were on their first US tour as a band, and they were only in Boise for a day of the festival. So big thanks to them for taking the time to chat with me. They were super nice guys and enjoyed the short time that we were able to carve out. Also, this was my first interview that I did for this year's festival, and I had a major technical error up top. I loaded up my recorder with what I thought was a fresh pack of AA batteries, and turns out I had just put used batteries back into this package, and my recorder died like 10 minutes into this thing, and I had to scramble to find a somewhat nearby power source, rearrange the room doing so that I could reach the mixer still, and had to borrow a little USB block from the band's drummer Kim. So that was about a 5-minute ordeal that cut into our time a little bit, but really appreciate their patience and them not making me feel like a complete dummy about it. And I think I was able to bounce back quick and not panic, tried to find a quick solution, and then got the thing back on track, maintained the composure, and picked up the conversation in a way that brought us back in, and just a bit of a nightmare and one of those unfortunate learning moments, but it all worked out. I think we had a really cool chat. Orion's Belt is the first Norwegian band to ever be on the podcast, so that's also very cool to keep expanding the cast outside of North America, and stoked for more opportunities to reach outside of the United States. If you dig this music, please give them a follow on all their socials and wherever you stream music. They've also got a bunch of vinyl if that's your thing. I just picked up their Mint record, the band's debut album. So I got one of those gold vinyls, stoked for that thing to come in the mail. Links for them will be in the episode notes. And I am hitting the road for a couple weeks here with experimental jazz band High Pulp. First show is June 8th in Sacramento, California. If you are on the West Coast, check out those dates. High Pulp Instagram tag is also in the episode notes. Come check it out, especially if you like the music in this episode. And with that, we are going to get into episode 362, all the way from Oslo, Norway. Orion's Belt is on the podcast, and we are kicking it off with one of their newest tracks. This one is called Silhouettes. Let's do the damn thing. Excited to get to chat with you. I've been checking out a lot of the music and really enjoyed getting to be introduced to your band through those scenic route
pieces that you guys put together is like a very cool
thing
to like be introduced to your band for not being able to like see a live show before coming here to Treefort.
It seems like a lot of people have watched those videos, which is very nice. Like a lot of people show love to the Norwegian nature.
Yeah, for sure. Talk to me before we get into the Orion's Belt stuff. What were you guys doing individually or together before you started started this band?
I guess we all have been doing music for 20 years or something.
Yeah, basically.
Me and Kim, we were in a band together back in 2000, from 2005 to 2010.
Okay.
So we knew each other very, very well. Me and Eivind met each other as session musicians. Yep. And we just bonded in the van on tour over music and was like, we have to do something. And we just called Kim.
Just playing in other people's projects then?
Yeah. Basically, so we've done a bunch of different stuff.
So when you guys were like touring with different bands, or is there just like always this urge to make music with each other, or were you guys kind of doing that while you were out on the road sometimes?
I guess we really didn't know actually. But it kind of happened on the tour where me and Chris met. It was like a really long Norwegian tour with a Norwegian singer that we are kind of still playing with, just kind of finding out the similar like all the stuff you kind of click on together.
Yeah.
And so I guess it was kind of just like, oh, we should probably try to do something about this. I guess like all of us had like ideas that were lying around like people do, like on their phones and like small demos and stuff.
Yeah.
So this was probably like a really good place, like, okay, maybe we can put all those ideas into like this new project.
Yeah. And I would assume when you're on tour with people, you get to spend a lot of time and you know that you want to spend more time with this person and actually make the effort to start a project
definitely.
With.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It was a very cool process, the first album, because we all just met. Like, I even just flew over from Oslo, because at that point, me and Kim were living in Bergen. And we just met in Kim's rehearsing space. And we're there for 2 days, just kind of trying to see if this worked out chemistry-wise and just recording ideas and demos. And it ended up, like, being the record.
That was the
like,
Mint
the
record?
First time. So a lot of the songs on Mint, actually, was the first time we ever played the song.
Okay.
I really like that.
Didn't even really know that there was going to be an Orion's Belt.
No, it wasn't a song until we kind of listened back to it later.
Got some recording equipment just before.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah. So that was just like, okay, we can maybe record so we remember what we're doing.
So Kim, are you like kind of the recording guru of the three of you, or is that just something you like to do as a hobby?
I would think I am the recording guru of the kidding.
Yeah, you were.
No, when we were supposed to like have our first rehearsal, as I even said, I just started recording myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it was just like we can just put up a few mics and then like make demos and then we can. But like Chris said, we thought the demos sounded good.
Yeah.
And basically those 2 days are like most of the album. I mean, it's all the songs were recorded those days and just added some, I don't know, stuff afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Was there something about like each of your playing that kind of drew you guys into wanting to even try this, not really even knowing, you know, what you were going to make with the Mint record?
Yeah, definitely. The rule of no shredding.
The rule of no shredding.
That's very important.
Talk to me about the rule of no shredding.
Yeah. Well, just, play songs and play them nice, I guess. That was kind of our mantra for the first. Play pop songs, but instrumental, instead of, get into all the sophisticated arrangements and shredding, I guess.
Yeah.
But I guess we have evolved, but that's good also.
Yeah.
That's what I really liked about the first record, just
slowly
making it easy and just finding an atmosphere.
Yeah.
We're slowly moving towards getting rid of the no shredding. No, I'm just kidding.
I guess.
It seems like from the beginning, even with the Mint record though, that y'all were like really exploring a lot of different sounds, and that obviously like exists throughout the catalog of what Orion's Belt would become. Was there like a lot of overlap or common bands that you guys liked going into it, or was everybody kind of coming in from different angles of what they liked musically?
I guess there's a lot of different angles. It's like we definitely share a lot of stuff, but also just everybody comes from different places musically, and we just, I don't know, really, we try to don't put any like boundaries on our stuff, just to stay open and try to kind of like let every idea get a chance at least. Yeah.
And with that first record, was everybody contributing ideas when you guys got in the room? Was it just kind of riffing on people's, like, maybe they had just this small idea and you guys all made it together then?
Yeah, it was.
That's exactly how it was.
Yeah, it was just like small snippets, small like parts. And this, I think it's all about like the sound of it, or just like this, just the captured the moments of like those couple of days are basically like the sound. It was like a, I don't know, a coincidence maybe. I just had like the pedals I had, and we had one guitar each, and it's like super simple stuff. So it's not like a studio session where you have tons of stuff with you or loads of keys or whatever to kind of add on. So it was just like the three instruments and that, and that's it.
Yeah, a lot of beautiful coincidences. I remember I was in the middle of a tour, and the nightliner just stopped outside the studio.
Yeah.
So I just brought my live amp into the studio.
Oh, that's
so it's just like whatever was easy.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Sometimes those limitations like create good things too, where you don't have like a bunch of things to select from.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was just supposed to be demos, or like we were just supposed to play it together and see if it was something there. So it kind of makes it easier going into something with low shoulders and
like kind of moving forward, since there wasn't a lot of intention for what you were doing?
I guess for me it was like it went a little time went by, I guess, when I opened like the stems, and then suddenly I got some ideas for some small parts with like mellotron and some vocals, actually, even if it was supposed to be an instrumental band. And that's when I like thought that, wow, this is going to be so good. And then I even sent it to our label.
Yep.
And they really liked it. And then everything just went kind of quickly after that.
Yeah. Is there much of the mint stuff that will make it into a live set these days?
Yeah, definitely.
Probably like half of it, maybe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we love playing those songs. And also, we haven't been touring that much. So it's nice to like kind of display the whole catalog, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that, the Atlantic Surfing is one of my favorite tracks off that record.
Yeah, we've just been picking it up recently.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
This music in the studio over, you know, in those days. So was it a whole nother thing of actually like learning how to play these songs together once you did bring it to like in front of live audiences?
Yeah, we don't really rehearse either, so it's
no, that's another policy.
That's the other
no rehearsal.
Yeah,
no,
that's
rehearsal.
The other yeah, no shredding and no rehearsals. So we try to yeah, so there's a lot of exploring going on in front of the audience, which I also like. So it's just like challenging ourselves and stepping out of the all our small comfort zones, I guess. So yeah, for sure, I guess like most of the songs we've recorded, it's only like a couple of takes, at least when we like finished, because a lot of it is made like in the studio. So when we kind of get to the form which ends up on the record, we maybe play that form like 3 or 4 times or something.
Yeah,
so then it's it usually takes some months before the record's out or before we do some touring, so I at least have to like relearn all my parts. And then there might be some guitar parts that Chris made and it's not like it's coming natural for me, so I have to kind of like decipher the whole thing and start all over again. But it's a good thing, then you just have to learn some more stuff, I guess. So
it's also good that that makes like I feel like the songs are constantly evolving. And we actually talked about this yesterday. Like, I feel some songs from Mint now, we finally feel that we are kind of just naturally communicating in the song, or like performing it like in a really nice way. Like, it's because it's kind of free. Like, the form is maybe there, or maybe we just it's kind of a free form set.
There's room for like improvisation.
There's room to do basically whatever you want during the set and make choices all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really important thing, to keep it interesting.
The freedom with the songs different on the tracks that have vocals versus the ones that are purely instrumental?
No, because there are incidentally very little vocals where there are vocals. It's more like hook based things, so I don't think that affects it that much, I guess.
That's true. Yeah, so the if there's like some vocals and then there might be like a kind of like an instrumental part where we all just go into places and then we just have some small cues or whatever to get back to the vocal thing. So yeah, it's pretty loose.
And some vocal parts we just don't do live, I guess.
Yeah.
Just play the songs.
I think that's kind of nice with the vocals too, with you guys' stuff, that it like often just kind of feels like it's another layer of instrumentation versus like this thing that is like trying to inform like how you're feeling about the song necessarily.
Yeah, that's cool. that's what we are aiming for, I guess. Yeah.
Were both of you guys singing before this band?
No, not me, but Chris, you've been singing.
I've been singing some, but I quit the band because I didn't like to sing. And now I feel like there's too much vocals going on here, but I still can't not do it whenever I hear it in my head.
We might have to introduce no vocal rule.
I guess.
Yeah. Chris, are you always the lead on the vocals, or like are you guys both writing lyrics? Because I know in like the live show, you guys will sing together. And
I guess you've been writing all the lyrics.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like the hooks?
Yeah. And but live we are kind of dubbing and doing it.
So there's basically just there's some like harmonies, but a lot of the time it's just like we're singing the same parts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, Chris, your vocal delivery is sometimes different or informed by who actually writes the song? Like, do different people bring different things out of what you do vocally?
I think so. Yeah. Mostly it's like the chord progressions or ideas I've had from before that are I hear vocals on. But like on the Joe Frazier track, that brought something out. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't. then you just hear a melody on something someone else wrote, which is kind of cool.
Those things where there's never like much intention from the beginning, like whether or not this song is going to have vocals or it isn't, it just kind of like it's presents random, itself to you later.
I feel like every time I've had a policy, like listening through everything, and like 8 out of 10 songs are, I think, are much better without anything.
Yeah.
But then there's some places I just hear stuff, and but it could also be like I don't know, everything from a xylophone to a synth, or if and some and two or three times maybe a vocal line.
Yeah,
I don't know, it's kind of random, I guess,
for sure.
It's depending how you feel that day.
That's true.
And Kim, as the drummer of the band, as far as when you're composing something or writing, are you often starting something like off with the drum beat, or are you usually working with like a more melodic instrument?
No, I guess I wouldn't say that my part with the in the band is, I don't think there's been like any ideas that I have come into the room with on beforehand. I might be maybe one track where we like had a drum beat start off first, so I guess I'm like in the, I don't know, with ideas coming into the room or to for recording, it's more Chris and Eivind who has that.
And was there something about like both of their songwritings that made you really want to play with them and be in this band?
Yeah, I wanted to play with them because I thought they were great musicians. Like Chris said, I've played with him for, I don't know, almost 20 years with different bands and acts and stuff. Never played with Eivind before he came to, but I've met him maybe
couple of times,
once or twice, and who was, I really liked his playing, so kind of more like for me it was more like I don't know, respect for them as musicians and creative persons. So the whole songwriting thing, I feel, is more like a
You didn't like that so much. No.
Didn't like the songwriting, but I thought they were good shredders. But I didn't know about the policy about no shredding.
You just thought that you couldn't take like 10-minute drum solos.
I don't know, but I feel like it's a good. We have like a very easy way of communicating when we work out stuff creatively. And there's a lot of room for everyone to kind of explore based on you kind of reacting to what everyone else is doing, and no one is kind of trying to, I don't know, play loudest or take up. I feel it's very like relaxed way of just being creative together and make music. And even though like most of the songs start off with like small snippets or whatever, kind of evolves from there and takes shape.
Yeah, I just feel like a lot of the songs we do like together is, it wouldn't be anything without, if I don't know, if you take a track like Bean, for example.
Yeah.
That's just like the melody itself is like nothing. It's just like the simplest melody, and that was just made up in the studio.
That was like a soundcheck jam.
It was like a soundcheck thing, and then that wouldn't be anything without like all three parts. So you could say that's like everybody's composing, even though it's like a melody that's there. But the whole pattern, or like I just see all three components as like one thing.
Yeah.
So that also makes it kind of like there's no agendas. It's just like you're trying to make a whole thing together.
And everybody's just there to serve the song and not
sure.
Shred over one another.
Yeah.
You're saying.
Yeah. So that's, I guess that's like the main thing hanging over the whole band. Thank you.
So talk to me about like the concept or the idea surrounding the last few records that seem to like feature each of you individually. How did that come about?
Oh yeah, this solo album project. I guess that was like an idea that just came from what we have so many like projects or ideas for stuff we want to do, and we try to like be don't limit ourselves. So that was one of the ideas that became kind of like a bigger thing maybe than expected. But that was just like I guess the policy there was to not be involved in the other two albums. So I didn't, except for me playing a tiny small part of Chris's album, we didn't like hear each other's albums until they were like finished, because we're not involved in the recording process at all, or even like mixing. So you had to be up for it and just like say, okay, I trust these guys, they're gonna make cool stuff, and same for all of us.
Yeah.
So that was just, yeah, one of the things we tried to do, to just trust each other. And but I really like the how it ended up. It became like we made this like box set with vinyls,
yeah,
with all three albums in it, in a cool like wrapping. And yeah, so I think it's super fun. It's like a different way of doing it under the band name. I don't think I would ever like release a solo album by myself. I really didn't have like a urge to do that, but when we could do it like this, I thought it was like a really cool way to like put it in under the band's name in a way. So yeah,
it seems like just like a cool way to showcase each of your like your taste or your songwriting, because they all feel like it's cool that you didn't really make them together, because even though they all feel very different, they feel like they can belong together like as that collection. And like your record even like seems to like lean like more experimental sometimes, with you know a song like Pineapple Juice is one of my favorites off that one. To have a lot of like R&B and soul moments to it, a lot of big grooves, sometimes just like very chill.
Yeah,
so I guess it like showcases all our, at least the stuff we wanted to do at the time.
Yeah
I don't know, it feels great to just, you know, get ideas out there without necessarily have to like do a big thing about it, like do a lot of shows or a lot of
because
fronting a whole thing by yourself, that's I guess that's none of our things, you know. That's why we are in a band, playing instrumental music. So it was nice to, it's always nice to release stuff.
Yeah. Kim, with your record, like since you said you're not like big on the, you know, the composing side, like how did your record come about? Because I like yours, because it seems like you really lean into like the acoustic instruments, and like seems like it's really rooted in jazz at times.
Yeah, I kind of cheated a bit. I made the songs together with a friend of ours called Matthias Telles. He's been involved with the band since the start. He has mixed all of the like normal Orion's records, but he's also mixed all of our solo albums. So it's kind of like a,
he knows the sound of the band.
Yeah. So when we started talking about the whole solo album project, I had actually just released another solo album under another name, which is kind of a whole different thing. It's like, it's basically, I've made two records with just cymbals.
Okay.
And obviously those albums aren't like collecting huge amounts of streams or even interest. So it's kind of a, kind of like, it feels like you're pissing in the wind. Is that it?
Is that an expression here?
Yeah, no,
you're
doing it. Yeah. You're pissing in the wind. You got it.
Yeah.
You're riffing, man.
So I said, I wanted to do it, but I wanted to like do something completely different, super mellow and nice. And I had like I knew how I wanted the album to feel, yeah. And Matthias was up for the challenge. So we spent a couple of days together sitting with a piano, drinking wine and eating food. And then we got, yeah. So it's, I mean, the whole process with my album is different because I had like other musicians as well. Even and Chris, I've been working on their stuff like completely by themselves in their own studios.
Yeah.
So, but it was a very nice process and I'm happy we... happy we did it. I'm super stoked for their how their albums came out, and I'm happy about mine as well.
Yeah, well, it's cool that, like, you know, they did theirs kind of by themselves, and that you did do it with some other people, because I think that just like adds another dynamic, or why maybe it feels different than
Definitely.
The other two. I really like that Harold's Vic camping track off that one is really great.
Yeah, nice.
That's a killer one.
Oh, wow.
Guys playing much of that from those three records? Are you playing any of that in the live show yet, or like is that even
we have done like just after they came out we played like some of the stuff of course since Kim utilized some of the best jazz musicians in Norway. It's kind of hard for us to pick up where they left, but we've been discussing now as well, just for like future shows to incorporate some of that stuff as well.
Yeah.
So it's there's some really cool stuff we could do as a band as well, I think. So yeah.
Must be exciting to like try to learn that stuff too, because it's almost like you're covering your own band in some way.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's true.
And like when you're making records with this group, or like are you ever thinking about how it's going to translate live since there's only three of you, or is it like, let's just make the best studio recording we can make and then we'll figure it out later and like how we're gonna translate it to the live show?
Yeah, we don't really think about much at all.
No, it's more like the attitude, like right here and right now, kind of. Yeah. Making the best stuff and then we'll figure it out later.
Yeah, I mean, all of the stuff is recorded live. I mean, all songs.
Yeah, all the basic tracks are...
Yeah, all basic tracks are just the three of us. So, I mean, we would be able to recreate at least some of it.
Yeah,
at absolutely. Some point.
Yeah.
Even though if we added, like, tons of stuff to it, we could still, like, do the basics. And I guess that's kind of what we have to do. If we add, like, synth stuff or whatever that doesn't make sense or isn't, like, possible for us to do, we'll just... I don't know, rearrange it and do it in another way. And we've been doing that now with the first single from the new album, trying to find ways to solve the parts that are there, which has been really nice.
Yeah, it's really cool.
You know, you guys have been playing together for like 5 years or so. 2019 was when Mint came out.
Yeah. So it was recorded a bit earlier, so but we didn't play a lot of shows until we played our first show in 18, I think.
Yeah.
So that was basically it. And also there's been, like the whole global pandemic situation has been going on. So
that happened in Norway too?
Yeah. We got a piece of it. So that was, so we're not a band that has been like endlessly touring or living in a van for years and years. So we've been kind of sparse on the whole touring situation. So now it's like kind of like the first time we played like so many shows in a row.
Yeah,
it's been like on and off, just flying in, meeting up for like a couple of shows, and then we all live in three different cities, so we don't really see each other much, but but that also makes it like super nice when we're together. So
I'm sure it's exciting to be with each other and be playing music. And
so I think it's a good way.
Yeah, we look different every time we see each other. It's great.
Yeah. It is great.
Where do you feel like you see, you know, within that 5-year period to where we're at now, like, where do you feel like you see the most growth within the band, like, either creatively or just, like, what you guys are doing with the music?
Good question. I don't know. We have so many ideas we want to get done.
Yeah.
So hopefully just a lot of different stuff. And
I think that's like one of the things for
keep
sure.
Keep being creative. Keep like just being really effective and not. Yeah, we've been good on that like thing. Just, you know, instead of just talking about a lot of cool stuff, we actually do it.
Yeah, sure. It's helpful too when you have more than one songwriter in the band. Like people are bringing a lot of ideas, and it's the pressure of one person to bring the core ideas.
Yeah. And when someone's busy, usually there's one that has a little bit more time, so it kind of turns out we've been lucky so far, at least.
And we got a new album coming out in October.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that, everybody. If you dig what you hear on this episode, make sure you keep up with these guys. Well, I appreciate you guys taking the time and, you know, dealing with my technical difficulty. And
no, that
is so much for reaching out.
Yeah, just really appreciate the music. I'm excited to see your guys' set tonight. It's been cool to get acquainted with the music through the records, and I really fuck with like those last three records that you guys did. Like as that collection, I think that's like such a cool idea. Yeah. And I don't know, just a different representation of what y'all are capable of. So I want to play the episode out with Holy Water off Chris's record.
Wow.
Good choice.
So we'll play one with the vocal because nice there's one. Too much vocals going on.
Oh man. Oh, yeah.
We end every episode of the podcast with the guest saying the tagline for the show, which is it's a program. So
it's a program.
Program with a U. You're doing it. It's a program.
Program.
So if we could get
should
the...
Should we do it like together then? Or maybe one each?
One each.
I think one each. Give me.
It's a program.
It's a program.
It's a program.
They nailed it, everybody. That's Orion's Bell. I'll put all the links in the episode notes so people can keep up with you. Appreciate you guys giving me some of your time while you're out on the road and here in Boise, Idaho in the States. And we're going to play it out with that Holy Water track. And that is the Jelly Jams. And we will catch you on the flip side. Boise, Norway, wherever you are listening from. Cool, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having us.
Brainstorming like I'm on a holiday. All these distractions haunt me every day. Go easy on me now. Call up my friend to get some real advice. While everybody else waiting for the slide. Downtown today, everybody seems to be okay. I might as well try to hold on just a little longer. Well, fuck you, man, I don't care. You could lose everything, you could be here next to me while I grab my hands again. Try to hold on just a little. little trip downtown today. Everybody seems to be okay. I might as well try to hold on just a little longer. Well, fuck you, man, I don't care. You could lose everything, you could be here next to me while I cut my took a little trip downtown.
Hey, just want to give a big shout out to DistroKid for sponsoring this episode of the podcast and for their longtime support of this thing. Don't forget to find that discount link in the episode notes or in my Instagram bio. 30% off your first year membership with DistroKid, helping you get your music in all the places it needs to be. And big thanks to Drops for making some of my favorite edibles in the game, keeping me fine-tuned with their gummies, whether THC heavy or CBD heavy. Great for stress and solid sleep. Find them at your favorite local dispensary. Appreciate the support. More info on Drops in the episode notes as well. Stay up, stay tuned.